ప్రతి ప్రభం నిరోహితం సహసైవోపలక్ష్య
ఆన్
అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ మెచ్యూర్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద యోగి ప్రాసెస్ the heart,
the heart,
Padma Koshe,
Padma Koshe,
on the lotus of,
on the lotus of,
Puritamas,
Puritamas,
manifested,
manifested,
Tadit Prabham,
Tadit Prabham,
brilliant,
like,
brilliant,
Hirohitam,
Hirohitam,
having disappeared,
having disappeared,
Sahasa,
Sahasa,
all of a sudden,
all of a sudden,
Eva,
Eva,
also,
also,
Upalakshya,
Upalakshya,
by observing,
by observing,
Bahisthitam,
Bahisthitam,
externally situated,
externally situated,
Tad Avastham,
Tad Avastham,
in the same posture,
in the same posture,
Tadarsha,
Tadarsha,
was able to see,
was able to see.
Translation. The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, that form of the Lord, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus, Dhruva was perturbed, and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. Because of his mature position in yogic meditation, Dhruva Maharaj was constantly observing the form of the Personality of Godhead within his heart. But all of a sudden, when the Supreme Personality disappeared from his heart, he thought that he had lost him. Dhruva Maharaj was perturbed, but upon opening his eyes and breaking his meditation, he saw the same form of the Lord before him. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Virochanena. A saintly person who has developed love of Godhead by devotional service always sees the Lord's transcendental form of Shyam Sundar. This Shyam Sundar form of the Lord within the heart of a devotee is not imaginary. When a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees face to face the same Shyam Sundar he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is absolute, the form within the heart of the devotee, the form in the temple, and the original form in Vaikuntha, Vrindavan Dham, are all the same. They are non-different from one another. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఖయ చక్షుర్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదామయం తదాచి స్వాహానికం ముఖాం కరోతి వచనం పంగుం లంబాయే యత్కృపాకల్పనం వందే వైష్ణవేభ్యో జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య శ్రీ అద్వైతృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ
Amen.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus, Dhruva was perturbed and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. So, a little bit of context before we get into the details of this verse. So, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than the kingdom of his father. He was not allowed to sit on the lap of his father by his stepmother. But in this whole disappointment that he had amidst all this, his mother, his own mother, gave him a very good advice. She told him what to do and who to approach to resolve this problem. What to do and who to approach. Many times when you have to analyze some problem, even when in many times in office we use this technique, what is called as the 4 W's and 1 H. What are the 4 W's?
Who, what, when, which.
Is it 5 W's or 4 W's?
5 W's.
5 W's and 1 H. How? So his mother has already advised him what to do and who to approach. So having heard his mother, he trusted his mother and he knew what to do, which was to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who to approach? Krishna. So he set out for the forest and on the way he met Narad Muni. Narad Muni, as his spiritual master, usually the spiritual master encourages devotional service. But Narad Muni, just to test his disciple, first discouraged him. He's saying, you're a very small boy, you can't do all these things. Just go and this is too much for you. This forest, these austerities is not for a small boy, for a small child like you. But when he sees that Dhruva Maharaj is extremely determined, then Narad Muni says very well. Okay. And then Narad Muni confirms what to do. And whom to approach. But in addition to that, whatever his mother has already said, he also adds the where to meditate and how to meditate, which is Ashtanga Yoga. Where to meditate? On the banks of the Kalindi. And most importantly, Narad Muni also trains him on which form of the Lord to meditate upon. So in fact, that in the previous chapter, if you go through texts 45 to 51, Narad Muni is describing the form of the Lord in great detail. And it is that very form of the Lord that is now in Dhruva Maharaj's mind, and which the culmination of that meditation is today's verse. Narada Muni also gives the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then asks Dhruva Maharaj to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. In summary, Narada Muni has given Dhruva Maharaj Naam, Rupa, Guna and Leela for meditation. In fact, the Rupa, Guna and Leela is specifically for meditation and the Naam is for chanting. So Smaranam and Kirtan is going on together at this point in time. In other words, Narada Muni has given him both the Bhajana Paddhati as well as the Archana Paddhati. Archan and Bhajan are two different things, very integral components of devotional service. Archan comes as the Navamida Bhakti process. Archana is usually connected with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and Bhajan is connected when Archana becomes spontaneous, then that practice is then called as Bhajan. So Narada Muni has given him whatever Dhruva Maharaj needs to get the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After having given all this, interestingly, in verses 60 to 61, Narada Muni, knowing the mood of Dhruva Maharaj, does something very unique. He gives Dhruva Maharaj a choice in verses 60 and 61. Not that he has given him the Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, etc. He still gives him a choice. In 60-61, almost as if to correct the desire of Dhruva Maharaj. What was the desire of Dhruva Maharaj? He is approaching Vishnu for not with a spiritual intention. He wants a kingdom greater than that of his father. He is very clear. But he is very determined. But he is approaching Vishnu, which is correct. So, artho artati jigyasu jnani, say in Bhagavad Gita. So, with any intention, worship akama sarva kamava moksha kama udariti tivrena bhakti yogena yajyata purushottama. Whether you are akama, no material desire, whether you are sarva kama, full of material desire, still approach Lord Krishna only. So, he is doing the right thing, but his desire is still material. So, Narada Muni, in verse 60 and 61, he tells him that people who usually want dharma, artha, kama can also meditate on Vishnu. He is specifically emphasizing that. But people who want liberation can also worship Vishnu. He is dissecting that in 60 and 61 in two different verses. Okay? As if to drill into Dhruva Maharaj, one chance he is giving Dhruva Maharaj to understand that, look, you are coming to Lord Krishna with material desires, but you can also go to him for liberation. Choice is yours. Pretty much like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gave Arjuna that choice. I have told you whatever I need to tell you in 700 verses. But now it is up to you. You decide what you want to do now. I have told you about so many types of yoga. Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Dhyana yoga. You know, so many things I have told you. And Bhakti yoga also. And I have told you about Sharanagati. Now it's up to you. So, Narada Muni as the spiritual master gives the philosophy and lets the disciple make the right choice. So, this is the symptom of an expert teacher. An expert preacher does not impose himself or unleash the philosophy on the people who are listening to that person, whereas he offers them choices and then lets them make the choice and then guides them if they have any impediments in following the right choice. So, having heard these instructions, Dhruva Maharaj decides to do his bhajan. He decides to do his bhajan full of austerities with full determination. The desire of Dhruva Maharaj is still Kevala Bhakti at this point in time. But the process and the person he has approached, both are correct. Desire is not correct, but process is correct and person is correct. Now, Tivrena Bhakti Yoga, such is the intensity with which Dhruva Maharaj follows the process and meditates on the person that the entire universal breathing is impacted. Such is the Tivra Bhajan of his. Just like the lesson for us is when we find one person chanting very attentively in the morning, when you see one devotee chanting very attentively, then just by seeing that person you feel a sense of guilt. After some time you feel a sense of enthusiasm. So both comes. So in that sense, bhakti of one devotee is very contagious on another devotee. So here you see that the whole universe is impacted by Dhruva Maharaj's meditation. Of course, the demigods are a bit scared because they have a physical problem. There is a breathing problem here going on in the universe. So they go to Lord Vishnu and they can't understand why this is happening. And Lord Vishnu is explaining to them that, look, don't worry about it. Dhruva Maharaj is meditating there, a small boy. And I'll go there and I'll sort out matters. So no worries. So in yesterday's verse, when this chapter began, 9.1, Lord, having promised the demigods that I'll go and sort out the issue, he entered the Madhuvan forest on the back of his Garuda to see his servant Dhruva Maharaj in the form of Prishni Prabha, which is Sirodakshaya Vishnu, who eventually created the Dhruva Loka planet. So the Lord is gone there now. Today's verse, what is happening? The Lord is there, Dhruva Maharaj is still meditating. As per what Narada Muni told you, Ashtanga Yoga is all about meditation of the Lord within the heart. Bhakti Yoga is about serving the Lord who is outside. So, in today's verse, what is happening is that Dhruva Maharaj is meditating and the Lord has now appeared in the with Garuda in front of him. So somehow Dhruva Maharaj is realizing somebody is there. So his meditation breaks when the Lord appears in front of him. The Lord is fully effulgent. By the sheer presence of the Lord, his meditation is broken. And then when he opens his eyes, he sees two things. One is that the Lord who was meditating in his heart was personally present in front of him. That's the first thing. And second thing is that the form of the Lord who was present in front of him was non-different, was completely similar to the form of the Lord which he saw within his heart. So we will discuss some details about this section in today's class. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very first canto, we are introduced to a verse which says, Vadanti tat tattva vidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti shabdyate. So this verse is called as the Paribhasha Sutra of the Vedas, the emperor verse of the Vedas. Having established in 1.1.1 in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Supreme Lord is the absolute truth, this verse, Vadanti tat tattva vidam, establishes that absolute truth is understood in three stages. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. People have this doubt. Is God formless or does he have a form? Is it Sagun Sakar or Nirgun Nirakar? This is a big debate in many times in India specifically. Right? When people even come to our programs here and they have this question. So it is clarified that the Lord is both formless as well as he has got a form. But the highest understanding of the Lord you attain in three stages. The formless aspect, then the localized form aspect as the super soul, and then the Bhagavan aspect. So Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So the process of Jnana Yoga, where the Jnana Yogis try to attain the impersonal form of the Lord, culminates in they actually merging into the Brahman form of the Lord. So the Brahman is so very beautiful that there are two possibilities. That after quite some time, you get bored of Brahman. And therefore, Prabhupada says one falls down into the material. Because the nature of the soul is to serve. And there is no service in Brahman. It's simply merging. A very good example of understanding that is, does a mother wait for the child to come out so that she can play with the child, feed the child? Or does the mother always want the child to be within the womb only? So that is a very small example to understand merging and exchanging love. This is a very simple example by which we can understand. So what happens is, when everything is Brahman outside, then there is nothing to do in Brahman. So the nature of the soul is to experience relationships through exchange of love. That is the nature of every soul. So therefore, there is nothing in Brahman. Eternally there is nothing in Brahman. There is just the Sat feature of the Lord. So the Jnana Yogi starts meditating within his heart, because outside he can't see anything except light. But within his heart, then through the meditation, from Jnana Yoga to Jnana Yoga, then eventually the Jnana Yogi gets darshan of the Lord. So that is the second stage, Paramatma Darshan, which is what Dhruva Maharaj had. He saw the Lord from within his heart. But now what has happened is, the third stage has come, which is he is having darshan of Bhagavan. So Lord himself has come directly in front of him now. Of course, there is a next stage of establishing a relationship with that Lord. Right now we are at the darshan stage only, at this point in time. So he has in this verse, he has simply had darshan of the Lord. So there are many key points, you know, for us to meditate on this specific section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what does it take to see the Lord? All of us want to have darshan of the Lord, right? So what does it take to have darshan of the Lord? Why did Dhruva Maharaj specifically get darshan of the Lord? The first and foremost important point is, Dhruva Maharaj followed the instructions of his spiritual master. He followed the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, not of some bogus spiritual master. In fact, there is no question of bogus spiritual master. The moment bogus is added, the spiritual aspect is out anyway. And there is no master then. Right? So, but still, because we are, Prabhupada said in English you can only explain that much. So let me use the word bogus spiritual master. But here, the spiritual master was genuine. Only someone who is a tattva darshi, who has himself seen the truth, can guide you to see the truth. Otherwise, it is the blind leading the blind. So Dhruva Maharaj followed the instructions of his bona fide guru. Not only did he do that, it's not that he followed these instructions and then eventually he got swayed by some of the benefits that those instructions, that following those instructions give. He did not get swayed. He was resolute in his determination. So the first lesson we get is, that is the way to attain spiritual success. Follow the instructions of the spiritual master with faith and determination. There are few aspects around this point that we will discuss. So, Narad Muni had told him to follow the process of Ashtanga Yoga, which he did. Narad Muni asked him to focus on Lord Vishnu with faith, which he did. So this faith is the first step towards prema also. In Nectar of Devotion, there are various stages before we attain love of Godhead. And it starts with adav shraddha. It starts with faith. That shraddha is still called as loose faith. But we start with that shraddha and then go to nishtha. After anartha nivritti, we go to nishtha. So this shraddha is called as loose faith, and that nishtha is called as condensed faith or strong faith. But it still takes some faith to go to that faith. Just like it takes some strength to go to a gym and lift weights so that you get more strength. But that initial strength is that initial shraddha. Therefore, if one does not have initial faith, one will not get into devotional service at all. So a little bit of that initial faith is important. So Dhruva Maharaj he reposed that initial faith in his mother as his Partha Pradakshita Guru, the person who introduced him to Krishna consciousness, and then further, you know, he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. And he focused on Vishnu only. That is the beauty. It's not that after some time he said that nothing is happening after 2 months, okay, let me focus on some other form of the Lord. Or let me go to the demigods and see if they can help me out. So, in one sense, his approach was not like an insurance policy approach. If one doesn't work, then the other will work. Or somehow, you know, something will happen. He had complete faith and he realized this is the only path or nothing else. So he was resolute and focused. Number two, Ashtanga Yoga, we all know, gives many siddhis. So with these siddhis means what? It gives mystic perfections. So if one, the beauty of this mystic perfection, or rather the problem with this mystic perfection, is that one can become very popular if one gets these mystic perfections. And we have seen, even in India we saw, some people can just produce gold from air and some ash from here and there. So these are all nothing but the result of following a process which has given, yogic process which gives mystic perfections. They are no more than a manipulation of material energy. But they are a subtle manipulation. So the common man does not understand this science, but it is still a material science. But then one achieves perfection in this material science simply by following Ashtanga Yoga very nicely. But when one achieves such perfection, one gets digressed. Because when you do all these tricks, people will call you as God. And who doesn't want to be known as God, except the devotees? Right? In this world, everyone likes to be glorified. And the ultimate glorification is, Aap hi Bhagwan ho, people say. So you are only my God. Oh, no problem, no problem. So then we can go on giving blessings to you. So, and then derive pride out of it and prestige out of it. So, Dhruva Maharaj, he was nearing perfection in his process, but he did not give up. He did not get sidetracked from his sadhana. So, although his goal was not Kevala Bhakti, that is the beauty. His goal was still not Kevala Bhakti at this point in time. But he stuck to the process till Darshan was realized of the Lord. Because his goal was not Kevala Bhakti, he could have got sidetracked at any point in time. Okay? But though his goal was not that, one resolute determination was that I will see the Lord. Because Narada Muni had told you, you will see the Lord. And then you ask him this. He was ignorant of the of pure devotional service, but he was innocent. He was innocent enough that he wanted to see the darshan of the Lord. He wanted to. Just like there was that pastime of Bondhu. No? Bondhu means actually a person who is very naive. So Bondhu's spiritual master was a Mahabhagavata. So Bondhu, he was not very educated, right? He was a cowherd boy. But his spiritual master was a Mahabhagavata. So his spiritual master used to tell that Krishna comes in the forest of Vrindavan every day morning at this time along with Balaram, cows, herding goes on, they play games, he brings a stiffen box, etc., etc., everything. And Bondhu heard it once. So he went to the forest, okay. After some days, Bondhu came and told his spiritual master, yeah, you are telling, yeah, I am seeing every day. Krishna is in the forest. My spiritual master is saying, what? Krishna in the forest? Why? You are telling daily. The same class. You are telling Bhagavatam class daily in the forest. So really? So that is the difference between a simple mind and an educated mind. Mahabhagavata, very good in reciting, but no realization. But person who has just accepted that with an innocent heart and gone, and then he is now becoming a spiritual master of that Mahabhagavata. Bondhu. Like that. Dhruva Maharaj had, though he did not know much about what is pure devotional service, the science and all that, his innocence was there. So that is the second aspect. With his innocence, he followed the instructions of his spiritual master, not applying too much of his own mind and logic. The third aspect, in bhakti, we have been cautioned not to, it's just an extension of the second point itself in one sense. In bhakti, we have been cautioned not to get swayed by prestige that comes with knowledge, that comes with skills, that comes with experience, that comes with age, or the prestige that comes with humility. Humility can also lead to, people will come and tell you, very humble devotee. Or on your birthday, people will say, that's the time, or when you're dead, people will say, of course, that time we are not hearing. So, you're very humble. So, the moment someone keeps telling you're very humble, 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 what happens? That humility turns to pride, if we accept it. So, yesterday, one devotee in our congregation, very senior devotee, very advanced devotee, he was telling that our job is to simply focus on our services. It was his birthday yesterday, so he was telling that all I am doing is simply serving my spiritual master, he said. Our job is to simply focus on our service with the end goal of pleasing Guru and Krishna and not get swayed with any other things that come in our way. Because all these prestige, power, position, name, fame, they are all exit routes on the path of the freeway to the spiritual world. Sometimes we can take an exit route. But what will happen? When we take the exit route, what happens? We have a car crash. Why? Because Krishna says, once you are chanted, no, you cannot exit. Okay. So your RAC will put you back on that road. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami says, don't worship Krishna. Because if you worship Krishna, you are finished. Your material life is finished. Even if you want to enjoy that, no, nothing will come out of it. Another important aspect why Dhruva Maharaj got darshan of the Lord is Dhruva Maharaj did not fake his advancement. He did not fake. He was truly determined. Not that after he got darshan of the Lord, he went about telling everyone, I saw Krishna yesterday. Not like that. Neither did he fake. Without Sri Krishna only saying that. I saw Krishna. Sometimes, you know, we have people in the program. I have darshan of the Lord daily. They sapne mein aate hai. Actually, if the Lord gives us darshan, we will never have attachment to TV. That is one simple example. We will never have attachment to T20 cricket match. To World Cup. We will never have attachment to Bollywood. Simple. So, if someone tells in the program, the first thing is, watch television, Bollywood. Yeah. It's coming up a little bit easier. T20. Which means that person has not really had that. That's the simple test. If we had darshan of the Lord, we will lose our material desire. This is what happens with Dhruva Maharaj. He had darshan of the Lord, and immediately what happened? Whatever he wanted, he says, why do I want whatever I want? I have seen you finished. So it cannot happen that we have had darshan of the Lord and we still have material desire. It's not possible. So Dhruva Maharaj, but then what happens? Some people fake their advancement. I remember when in the initial, even now, and in the initial stages of bhakti, but very, very initially when we started, I had some dream, and I did not spare anyone in the congregation. I went to everyone and told, I had some divine light. I think it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only who I saw. The devotees were very merciful. They will always encourage, ah, very good, Prabhu, very good. You're doing so well. And I said, thank you, Prabhu. So you go through all that cycle, then you realize you are an idiot. You have not seen anything at the end of that, right? It is a big tapasya here, Dhruva Maharaj is going. Is it so cheap to see Lord Krishna? But it takes some time for a fool to become less fool. So the word in this verse is Yoga Vipaka Tivraya. Sanskrit here. So he did not get sidetracked and continued his bhajan. Till the bhajan was ripe. That is what it is said, vipaka. Pakka comes from the word pakdaya. Pakdaya means what? Ripe. The fruit is very ripe. Vipaka. Yoga vipaka tivraya. On account of mature realization of the yogic process. And that is why he got his darshan. So because when the bhajan is ripe, then we get the full taste of that fruit. Of darshan of the Lord. Then, in fact, when the bhajan is ripe, one can see Krishna at every moment. But one has to follow the bhakti process step by step. If one jumps directly into the mature stage, then it will become meaningless. Such a worship is meaningless. A very good example is of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is here. So, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was a Babaji, a simple person, pure devotee of the Lord. He was chanting Hare Krishna in a secluded place. But in this place, in this world, nobody will leave you even at a secluded place. So people used to come to him, all the materialists. Babaji, Ashirwad, Ashirwad. Ashirwad for what? Dhanam Dehi, Putram Dehi. Same thing, wealth and fame, name, something. People used to come to him. So he was recluse in one sense. So what happened was, so he was recluse. Now when you are recluse, you also become popular. Like in one lecture, you know, which I heard many years back, called as Saints and Swindlers, which Gauranga Prabhu gave. There he says, in India, it is the best business development proposition. All you have to do is sit under a tree. There should be a hole in the tree. You should put some kumkum inside that hole. You should put a limbu. You know what is limbu?
Lemon
you put there and put some garland over there and then grow a beard, have some commandant, wear saffron dress and sit like that. And what will happen? Slowly, people will come and throw coins. Initially it will be paise, then it will become rupees.
Notes.
Notes. Like that, right? And then what happens? You become a guru. Like that. So this is a business development proposition. So people try to imitate. Now, when Gaur Kishore Prabhaji was similarly chanting in a secluded place, there was another person who came there. If you sit in a secluded place and chant, so much of respect is coming. So I will also join. So he built another, he built a small kutir next to Gaur Kishore Prabhaji and started chanting Hare Krishna. So Gaur Kishore Prabhaji came to know of it. So he gave a very beautiful statement. Very simple example. He said, one cannot give birth to a child simply by entering the maternity room and yelling. One cannot give birth to a child simply by entering the maternity room and yelling. One has to be genuinely pregnant. Then only child will come. Right? So just because you built a kutir and making some noise of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, darshan will not come, realization will not come. Because there is a basic ingredient of being pregnant with Krishna Bhakti is not there. It is not there in your heart. Nothing will come out. So, neophyte who makes a show of ecstasy, won't get genuine love for Lord Krishna despite crying and trembling. Krishna Prem is not itchy, for Babaji mentioned. So, Dhruva Maharaj here is determined, he is following the process, not getting sidetracked with anything. Another interesting point is, this is from the Nectar of Devotion. There a cross reference from Brahma Yamala is given. It's a famous verse, many times we have seen this being quoted. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Ahain Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpataya Eva Kalpate. Which means, devotional service when performed, by ignoring the authorized Vedic literatures creates disturbance in society. When you do your own, you invent your own process of devotional service, ignoring what is mentioned in the scripture, it is a disturbance to society. So, do not imitate, but simply follow in the footsteps. Harer nama anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means do kirtanam in the way in which the predecessors have done. Don't invent your own process. When we do that, everything will come step by step. Adau shraddha, adha sadhu sangha. So, till the prema bhakti, everything will come. And, I was hearing one class by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj. He says, that in which he said that even if you miss one step in bhakti, that part of your life will, of devotional life will remain hollow. So that part of the foundation of your bhakti remains hollow all the time. And therefore you can't build a safe skyscraper on top of that, or safe building on top of that foundation. So not to miss any step. So in summary of this point, yoga vipaka tivraya. One's heart, bhajan has to be mature, one's heart has to be pure, one has to come to the platform of Vishuddha Sattva, beyond the three modes of material nature, and one's eyes have to be anointed with love. Then one can have darshan of the Lord, and that seeing of the Lord will be actual seeing of the Lord. So, this mature devotional service is very powerful in terms of giving darshan of the Lord. Not to speak of mature devotional service, even beginning devotional service is very powerful. But one has to come to the process of mature devotional service step by step. And we saw Dhruva Maharaj attaining this mature stage. So that is the first point, following the instructions of the Guru and not getting sidetracked. Second point we learn from this section is, the form which one meditates upon, eventually one develops prema for that form of the Lord. So the sadhana leads to the sadhya. Or in one sense, keeping the sadhya in mind, one does sadhana. Actually that is the process. Keeping the sadhya in mind, one does sadhana. And the sadhana eventually reveals your sadhya. So according to one sadhana, that specific form of the Lord is revealed. Bhanu Maharaj in one class was mentioning, not that one meditates on Krishna and one sees Ramachandra or Nashinare. It will not happen like that. It can happen when one is in different situations, circumstances, but he is talking about sadhana bhakti. It will not happen like that. So the Lord will reveal to the devotee the form which the devotee most relishes. Of course, in the case of Murari Gupta, we saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he revealed Krishna's form, Murari Gupta wanted to see Lord Ramchandra's form only because he was Hanuman. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was compelled to show him, out of love, he was compelled to show him the form of Lord Ramchandra. Now, even when meditating, talking about the form, even when meditating, one can meditate on the two-armed form or the four-armed form of the Lord. So everyone has what is called as their Prayojana Murti, which is the ultimate form which the devotee wants to see the Lord in. So if you meditate on too many forms of the Lord, Bahu Shakahi Anantascha. So there has to be Tivrana Bhakti. The devotee eventually has to meditate on one form of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada has, in our sampradaya, we meditate on the two-armed form of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. So that is our meditation. Talking about darshan also depends on the rasa. Which, how you see the Lord when He is appearing in front of you, depends also on your relationship with the Lord. An example is of when Lord Krishna is entering the wrestling arena to finish Kovalayapida. Kovalayapida and then Chanura Mushtika and then finally Kamsa. When Krishna is entering that, so many people are around the arena watching that fight of Krishna killing Kamsa. And I will not go into that in great detail at this point in time, but if you see, the women folk of Mathura are seeing Krishna in a particular form. In fact, they are feeling very sad for Krishna. They are saying, how beautiful he is and how beautiful his pastimes are. How fortunate are the gopis that they enjoyed all the sweet pastimes with him, and how unfortunate are we that we are seeing Krishna being subjected to this torture of fighting. So when they see the Lord, then they have darshan of the Lord, they have that mood towards him. When Nanda Maharaj sees that, he is always seeing Krishna as his, right? So he is always worried about the welfare of Krishna. In fact, the previous night Nanda Maharaj was not sleeping. He was very worried. Why did you go and, in Hindi we say, kyun jaake usko chheda? Why did he go and, unnecessarily fiddle with that Kamsa? So he is worried about it. Whereas, when Kamsa and Chanura Mushtika are seeing him, they are seeing Krishna as death personified. So it depends on our rasa, how we see. Everyone is getting darshan of the Lord. But whether your bhajan is anukul or pratikul, you will see the Lord in different way. Darshan is still the same. So here, Dhruva Maharaj, his Ishta Devata was the four-armed form of the Lord. So he is seeing the Lord in that form, with all his opulence. Because at the end of the day, the goal of Dhruva Maharaj's worshipping the Lord was for his opulence. So he is seeing the opulent form of the Lord. So this is the second part. The third interesting aspect that comes here is that the Lord appeared. Yes, it is said here that the Lord appeared because of the mature stage in which Dhruva Maharaj was in his yogic process. But we have to understand the higher truth. The Lord cannot be forced to appear just because of maturity of a yogic process. The Lord will only appear when He wants to. Because the Lord was pleased with the worship of Dhruva Maharaj, He chose to appear. The Lord cannot be forced to appear except by pleasing Him, such that He also develops a desire to come and appear in front of us. So, because the Lord is Swaraj, He is completely independent. I remember one Bollywood movie many years back, when the hero was very upset, when the heroine has not been taken care of by the Lord, who she worshipped. So he says, "Hey Bhagwan, abhi tujhe aana hi padega." He says that, "You have to come. How dare you not come?" Like that. And he is ringing the bell, with great force, and this was the melodrama of the climax of the movie. And in the movie, Lord comes, but in real life, Lord will not come. Movie, anything can happen. The only good part of the movie was those days, movies at least had some God centered. Nowadays, we don't understand what's going on. There is no question of God in any movie. But that was the good part. But still, Lord will not come like that, just because we yell at him and say that you have to come. Without any bhakti, you are just quoting a mundane situation and then saying that now you have to come. Like that. So the Lord appears by his own free will. He appeared because he was pleased and he desired to manifest. Now, Lord does not appear in front of everyone. He chooses who he wants to appear in front of. So, Jayadev Maharaj, in that same class, he was saying, it is not a process of sensory exercise. It is not a process of sensory exercise. It is one of revelation. When Lord Krishna is pleased, his darshan is not a sensory exercise. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, don't try to see Lord Krishna, but act in such a way that Lord Krishna wants to see you. So the process is simply to please Guru, and then Lord Krishna is pleased. And when Lord Krishna is pleased, everything that has to be revealed will be revealed. So that is what Maharaj was reinforcing. Yasya deve parabhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasya ite katitahi artah prakashante mahatmanah. This is a very apt point here. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. This is from the Sveta Svatara Upanishad 6.2. And this is a very oft quoted verse. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse so many times. Only to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord as well as the spiritual master, not just in the Lord. In this case, he had faith in Lord Vishnu as well as Narad Muni and his mother, spiritual master. We have to have faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master. And then to such a person, all the imports of Vedic knowledge will be automatically revealed. This is such a famous verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted it so many times. In the Bhagavad Gita, how important this verse is, just an example. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is quoted twice. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is quoted 11 times. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is quoted 12 times. In Srila Prabhupada's lectures, it is quoted 43 times. In his letters, it is quoted 7 times. And his morning walks and conversations, it is quoted 22 times. And in his other books, it is quoted twice. So many times this verse has been quoted. That one has to have faith in Lord Krishna and the Guru. Then the Lord will appear. Now, even if the Lord appears, it is difficult to retain him. If you see, Narad Muni also Lord appeared. And Narad Muni had a very similar situation. He also walked north. And then he also had darshan of the Lord, pretty much like Guru Maharaj, 400 form. But then what did Lord say? Now, see you. I will not appear in, now enough in this lifetime. Why that does happen? So, even if the Lord appears, it is difficult to retain the Lord. It is very difficult. It is difficult to retain the Lord even in a place where He is glorified. For example, Maharaj Yudhishthira. So Kunti Maharani, we were recently in our Bhakti Vaibhav, we are discussing this point. So Kunti Maharani wanted the Lord to stay. She was begging with the Lord, please don't go away. You know, she quotes all those prayers. May those calamities come again and again so that I can see you again and again. So she doesn't want the Lord to leave at all. So she is praying. But still the Lord has not decided that he is going to stay. And then the Lord enters the palace and says bye bye to everyone. And then what happens? Who comes in front of him? Maharaj Yudhishthira comes. And then the Maharaj Yudhishthira says, Lord, please stay for some more time. The Lord says, okay, I'll stay. So there are two reasons given for that. Yes, one is because of the love of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the Lord decided to stay. But there is one more reason. What is the reason? Because the Lord knew that Bhishma was still on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Bhishma is a Mahajana. And Bhishma's desire was Bhishma's desire? That he was waiting for Uttarayana to come, for that moment to come. And at that moment he wanted to leave his body, taking darshan of the 400 form of the Lord Narayana. Right? So the Lord stayed back so that he can go there and give the darshan. So it is very difficult, even if you see the Lord, it's very difficult to retain him in one place. He can be retained only by the power of love, or if he decides that no, I am going to give my darshan to this person. Come what may, I will stay back. So even Kubja, for example, Kubja, the Lord saw Kubja. Kubja gave him ointments when the Lord was entering Mathura, and Lord felt very moved that with Kubja's service unto him. He promised Kubja that I will come to your house. Kubja said, "No, you have to come immediately." The Lord said, no, immediately. Even Akrura, who had taken Lord Krishna in the chariot from Vrindavan to Mathura, even that Akrura, after that he said, "Lord, let's go to my house first. Now I have taken you all the way from here. I have given you a ride. So first you come to my house." Lord says, "No, fine, not now. I have some work to finish. Only then I will come." So he cannot be forced. Even in a place where he is being served, he is being glorified, he cannot be forced. Just by the dint of the service, that he will stay with. Not possible. Whereas, in a place where he is chastised, like anything, with the harshest of words, he wants to come. Which is that place? Vrindavan. What is the pastime? The pastime of the bumblebee. Brahmarangita. The song of the bumblebee. Uddhava, first of all, he left the gopis. The gopis are terribly upset with him because of that. They have not pardoned him. Right? On top of that, he sent Uddhava as a messenger from Mathura. And then all the gopis are huddled around Uddhava and they are asking, "Oh, why has he sent you here? Where is he? When is he going to come?" He said, he promised us that he will come, but he has not yet come. And then what happens after that? On top of that, the Lord is taking the form of, Lord wants to still, though he is in Mathura, he still wants Radharani's association. So he is coming in the form of a bumblebee. He is hovering around Radharani's feet there. And Radharani, she is, in one sense, Radharani knows this is Krishna. In one sense, she doesn't know. It's a very intricate pastime. So Radharani is blasting the bumblebee. Radharani is thinking that, in one sense, that the bumblebee, she is seeing the bumblebee as a messenger of Krishna. But bumblebee is Krishna. So Radharani is blasting the bumblebee. Why you have come here? In fact, she says the kumkuma on your feet are looking, red. Because you have sat on the body of the gopis, where Lord Krishna places his head. So she gives so many things. She's saying, "You are a cheater. Just like you go from one flower, you are satisfied, you go to another flower after that. Similarly, your boss, he is also like that. He is also got that attitude. He never stays in one place." So, and the Lord, though he is being completely blasted here, he still wants to come to that place. He doesn't want to go away from that place. Whereas he can go away from that place even where he is glorified and invited. So this is a very difficult Lord to understand. So, but one common thing is there. The Lord can be captured in one place only through the intensity of love that one has for the Lord within one's heart. That love can manifest through glorification, or that love can manifest through blasting him. But it has to be unalloyed love. There has to be love and nothing else. And then the Lord will not only show darshan, but he will want to be there all the time. Right. So that is another point about darshan of the Lord and retaining the Lord. Another point is Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayatitara Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayam Ayatukam. When we take darshan of the Lord, devotional desires manifest in our heart. And as a result of that, both jnana as well as vairagya come automatically. One doesn't have to separately endeavor. And we see here. What happens? When the moment Dhruva Maharaj gets darshan of the Lord, immediately what happens? Jnana and Vairagya has already come. He says, "Lord, I was searching for broken pieces of glass. when you are there, I don't want that kingdom. But the Lord says, no, 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 you ask for it, no, you have to. Because you approached me with that. So I will give you that. I will give you an entire planet, what to speak of a kingdom. And he gives him the pole star. So, we discussed all these different aspects of darshan of the Lord. The question is, at least I am not anywhere close to Guru Maharaj. So, for conditioned souls, how do we get darshan of the Lord? Guru Maharaj has got his darshan. Where do we get our darshan from? So, it is mentioned that the Lord has five forms. The first form is called as a para form. Para form is the form of the Lord which is worshipped in the spiritual world. The second form is called as Vyuha form. Vyuha form is the Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. Vyuha, Chaturvyuha. And then there is Vaibhava forms of the Lord, which is the Lord appears in different yugas and performs different leelas or pastime, this being one such pastime, the Vaibhava form. Then the fourth one is the Antaryami form of the Lord. Antaryami means the super soul form of the Lord. And the fifth form, which is available for all of us, is the Archa form of the Lord, the Archa Vigraha, or the deity form of the Lord. So, it is said that out of all this, the practicing devotees or Kanishka Adhikari has access to only the last form, which is the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. Now, but the Archa Vigraha form is not to be, just because it is the only form available doesn't mean it is the lowest one. No, it is non-different from the original form of the Lord. Now, not only is it non-different, but it is mentioned in the scriptures that the Lord mercifully condenses the mercy of all the other four forms into the Archa Vigraha. All the mercy of the other four forms are condensed into the Archa Vigraha. So when the Archa Vigraha is worshipped with love and attention, then the sadhaka gets the full benefit of such bhajan or archana. So in one sense, the Archa Vigraha is the causeless mercy of the Lord on the practicing devotee. And that is why in the five most important items out of the 64 items of bhakti, in fact, 35 of the 64 items of the limbs of bhakti, which has been enunciated by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, 35 out of 64 are all connected with deity question. And further, in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa, Sanatana Goswami also elaborates each of them. So just imagine, our acharyas have spent quite a bit of time giving us the importance of deity worship and giving us the process of doing deity worship. So how can that be non-different from the Lord? So deity is non-different. So there is no difference between, Prabhupada writes in this purport also, there is no difference between the Lord in the heart, the Lord in the spiritual world, and the Lord in the temple. Prabhupada writes in this purport. From a materialistic point of view, we see a distinction. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, the moment he saw Lord Jagannath, what happened? Mahaprabhu fainted. Because he was seeing Shakshat Nanda Nandana Krishna. When he saw Lord Krishna, he was seeing Shakshat Nanda Nandana with his brother and sister. He did not see that I am seeing a deity which is carved out of some special wood in the forest. He didn't go into all that tattva of the making of the deity. Sometimes devotees come and then they ask, Rooji, deity is what is it? Brahms or is it material? So this, seeing the deity, one sees Krishna. One doesn't see the material. Of course, it's not wrong to ask that question. But you know, we are talking about the realms of higher bhakti and examples of higher bhakti. Where Mahaprabhu saw, he just saw Nandana, then he fainted. And this deity worship is the way in which we have to see the Lord. Because in the neophyte stage it is said that a neophyte, the definition of neophyte means what? A neophyte devotee is one who only has anything to do with the Lord and nothing to do with the devotees of the Lord. Only come, take darshan of the Lord, place a milk bottle, go away. Right? That is fine. It is fine and it is glorious. It is glorious because you want to do something for the Lord. But that is not the summum bonum of bhakti. At the end of the day, if we do not have proper relationships with devotees, there is no way we can have a relationship with Krishna. No way. However excellent we may be in our services. Because not having good relationship with the devotees is 100% a sign of false ego. Some false ego is still within our heart. If the heart is simple, there is no way we cannot have any relationship with. If our desire is only to become servant of servant, then there is no way we will strive for any other position, because the servant position of servant is always vacant. It is only the other positions that are not vacant. So having darshan of the Lord is one thing, but having relationship with the Lord is the higher aspect of than the darshan of the Lord. And having relationship of the Lord will not come unless we learn to respect tadiya. That is why in Padma Purana it is said, Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Out of all the worship, highest is Vishnu worship. Tasmat Paradharam Devim Tadiyanam Samarsanam. But higher than worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee. Therefore, it is mentioned that by initially a devotee, because he has everything to do with the Lord, engage the person in deity worship. But by constantly engaging in deity worship, the heart gets purified, such that the devotee starts seeing the other paraphernalia also, the tadiya of the Lord and everything associated with the Lord as non-different from the Lord. And therefore the sadachar or behavior with other devotees gradually improves, and such a devotee then goes out and preaches the message of Lord Krishna to the whole world. So, the point here is that the darshan is not the end goal, but the end goal is to develop a relationship with the Lord. Devotees are only interested in serving, even if the Lord does not give darshan. In fact, that is higher than the darshan of the Lord. Asnisyava padaratam pinastumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadatu dampato mat prananata suyevanata. Even if you don't appear in front of me, I am your servant birth after birth. But for this particular verse, we are focusing right now on the darshan aspect of the Lord, knowing very well that there are higher aspects than this in devotional service, which also is revealed in Brihad Bhagavatam, where gradations of devotees are given. Where Dhruva is also there, but higher devotees like Prahlad Maharaj also come in that lineage, finally culminating in Uddhava and then the gopis, highest of whom is Srimati. So in the ensuing sections after this, we will see that the Lord not only offered darshan, but seeing that Dhruva Maharaj was a very small child, and the Lord realized he could not pray with perfectly, so the Lord actually helps and gives guidance and inspiration to Dhruva Maharaj on how to approach him by placing his conch on top of Dhruva Maharaj's head. Stop here. Mahaprabhu is smiling. Janu Saptami? No? No, Mahaprabhu? Okay. So today is Janu Saptami. Still, I want Mahaprabhu to be happy. So, Janu Saptami. Janu is Ganga Devi. Today is Janu Saptami. Very briefly, in 2 minutes, Ganga Devi, how did she manifest in the spiritual world? She manifested because Krishna had thrown, I shouldn't say that way, Krishna had organized a celebration for Srimati Radharani. In that celebration, all the Devi Devatas had come. Saraswati sang so beautifully that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma both gave her gifts. After that, Lord Shiva started singing. Lord Shiva's singing was so mellifluous that what happened? Radha and Krishna melted. They disappeared and they melted into liquefied water. That liquefied water is called as the Ganges. That is the origination of the Ganges in the spiritual world. Obviously, the devotees wanted Lord Krishna Radha to appear back, not stay in the liquefied form only. Therefore, Lord Krishna mentioned that I want Lord Shiva to write the Tantra Shastra. If he promises to write the Tantra Shastra, then I will appear back. And then Lord Shiva agreed and then they appeared back. So Ganga Devi is non-different from the body of Radha and Krishna descending from the spiritual world or Golok Vrindavan, and she's got a very special place. Second glory of Ganga Devi is in the Vamana Deva pastime, when the foot of Vamana Deva touched the layer of Brahman and it pierced the layer of Brahman, and then the ocean started following it. Ganga Devi came in that way. So what happened? It first touched the, washed the feet of the Lord. But what had happened was, as the Lord was taking his feet from one planet to the other, the demigods in each and every planet started washing his feet and worshipping his feet. Even Brahmaji had his own Kamandalu, he also washed the Lord's feet. And on top of that, then the Lord's feet pierced that, and then Ganga Devi entered. So, and then when she entered with so much force that Lord Shiva had to take that force on his head. So, in one sense, Ganga Devi has got the blessings of, has got association with Brahma, Vishnu as well as Lord Shiva. And that's why if you see in India, regardless of whether one is Saivite or Vaishnavite, Ganga Devi is a common point of worship for everyone. So that is the glory of Ganga Devi. And then specifically coming to Janu Saptami, what is the significance? Ganga Devi was flowing into this metal world with tremendous force, and Bhagirath Maharaj, who had brought her down, he was riding on the chariot ahead and Ganga Devi was following him. But such was her force that when there was an ashram of Janu Muni that was there coming in the way, she also devastated that ashram, flooded that ashram completely. Okay, so Janu Muni was meditating and he was very unhappy with this. So what he did? He swallowed the entire Ganges. And then Bhagirath Maharaj, nothing was there. So then what happened? He prayed to Janu Muni and he said, please kindly release Ganga Devi. And said, okay, I will release her in such a way that her force is also regulated. So he released Ganga Devi from his mouth. And that's why Ganga Devi, because she came from his mouth, is called as Janavi. That is her name. And today is Janu Saptami, the day in which that happened. Mahatma Prabhu is smiling. Mahatma Prabhu ki?
Yeah.
I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes,
please. You mentioned five forms of the Lord. Is there a sixth form of the Nāgarūpa? Kalikāle Nāgarūpa? Is that the sixth form or that's not the sixth form?
It is the sixth form. In fact, the book Bhagavatam is also a form. Lord comes in book form. Okay. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jai!